Welcome to Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. We are now 224 days until the opening ceremonies of the 2024 Olympics in Paris. The head of the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach, is defending his decision to allow athletes from Russia and Belarus to compete in the Paris Games under a neutral flag following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Bach pointed out there are 28 other international conflicts going on as well, and the athletes shouldn't be punished for the acts of their government. However, Russian athletes who have supported the war, either by serving in the military or openly supporting Russian aggression, will be barred by the IOC. Russian President Vladimir Putin responded by saying the decision would bury the Olympic movement. Bach also reaffirmed that Ukrainian athletes will be allowed to participate under their flag at the 2024 Games, though Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has indicated his country could boycott the Games if Russian athletes were allowed to participate. There hasn't been a response from the IOC on that threat. We spoke with a Ukrainian wrestler training in the U.S. back in episode 16 of Quest for Gold. The skateboarding WST Street World Championships are underway in Japan. This is the first phase of qualifying bids for the Summer Games. 29-year-old California native Najah Huston has won every Olympic qualifier he's competed in. He looks to keep that streak alive. On the women's side, 15-year-old Paige Hine has a few podium visits during 2023 and looks to cap off what's been a breakout year for her coming up here in Tokyo. The U.S. Olympic boxing trials are over. Six men, Diedrich Krocklum, Keon Davis, Nathan Lugo, Malachi Georges, Ali Felice, and 18-year-old Jordan Fuentes have made next month's Team USA selection camp. On the women's side, Lisa Greer, Stephanie Simon, and Christine Forkins all punched their ticket to the camp with wins. The International Weightlifting Federation's executive board has approved USA Weightlifting's participation in the 2024 European Championships in Bulgaria for Olympic eligibility. It comes after some American weightlifters were unable to participate in the Pan Am Championship back in October in Venezuela. Two American senators are pushing the NCAA to introduce flag football as a collegiate sport ahead of the 2028 games in Los Angeles, where flag football has been added to the program. Specifically, Republican Senators Marco Rubio of Florida and Jeannie Sheehan of New Hampshire told the NCAA in a letter they would like to see women's flag football added to NCAA sports. Female sports and politics will likely to continue to come up in 2024, specifically on the topic of transgender athletes. The IOC in 2021 loosened some of its rules around transgender athletes, specifically around hormone levels. However, the governing body World Athletes earlier this year did bar transgender athletes from competing in track and field events. The arguments for a ban include the safety of women competing, as well as unfairness in competition, while those who support transgender athletes in sport are calling for inclusiveness. It prompted a hearing on Capitol Hill about transgender athletes in women's sports in the United States. House Republicans have introduced legislation that would ban transgender women and girls from competing in female sports in the U.S. It's called the Save Women's Sports Act. Republican Congresswoman Lisa McClain of Michigan introduced the measure, and she led the House hearing called The Importance of Protecting Female Athletes and Title IX. It was a three-hour-long hearing. We'll play a little bit of that discussion. All of the witnesses were called on behalf of McClain, so only dissenting comments came from Democratic Congresswoman Summer Lee of Pennsylvania.
This hearing is about protecting women, period. That's it. I'm standing up for the rights of women, children, my daughter, your daughter, our granddaughters. I'm frustrated as I continue to hear about female athletes who are injured by biological males competing in women's sports. I'm a mother. I have two daughters. Any parent will tell you that their most sacred responsibility is to protect their children. And that's what I'm trying to do. And that's what this hearing is about. That's why today is about protecting our daughters, our nieces, and our granddaughters. It's time for us to get off the sideline and actually stand up for them. Unfortunately, the Biden administration has shown that it's putting leftist policies before women and girls. In a fraudulent effort to be inclusive, the Biden administration is sacrificing equality. Instead of defending the hard-fought protections that Title IX secured, I mean, think of how long we fought for Title IX, for equality for women. The Biden administration has proposed two rules that will drastically alter Title IX. The Biden administration proposed rule redefines sex to include gender identity and expand Title IX protections to biological males, protections that were created and implemented for women and girls. If the Biden administration is successful, it will mean that more women will lose out on academic and athletic opportunities that should have been afforded to them under Title IX. Again, the whole reason we put together Title IX. Last year, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of Title IX's enactment. For the last 50 years, we've seen Title IX's success in securing equality for women across the country. We cannot allow this administration to dismantle the rights and protections that women fought so hard to achieve. We must protect women and girls, and I encourage my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to stay centered on this issue throughout the hearing. To our panel, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here today before the subcommittee. I'm looking forward to having this very important discussion with you. And I now recognize the ranking member, Ms. Lee, for your opening statement. Ms. Lee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's disappointing to me that although the title of this hearing implies a much needed discussion, we're likely going to be forced to listen to transphobic bigotry. Because actually, protecting female athletes in Title IX is important. Participating in sports provides so many benefits to our young people. Those benefits range from improved mental and physical health to enrich life skills, such as teamwork and goal setting. In terms of mental health, studies show that participating in youth sports is associated with lower rates of anxiety and depression, lower amounts of stress, higher self-esteem and confidence, and reduced risk of suicide. So why are my Republican colleagues working so hard to prevent our trans youth from participating? According to the Human Rights Campaign, in just the first 143 days of 2023, elected officials across the nation introduced more than 520 anti-LGBTQIA bills in state legislatures. 23 states banned trans youth from participating in school sports consistent with their gender identity, with some laws focusing on kids as young as kindergarten. How competitive is kindergarten? You all are working so hard at excluding and demonizing a bunch of kids. I think it's important that we raise the voices of transgender athletes, their families, and teammates. I'd like to read a few of their stories written in the first person. The first from CeCe Telfer, a professional track athlete, model, and advocate. I was a former D2 national champion in the 400 meter hurdles. And I am now a professional athlete training to make it on the Team USA and represent them in the following Olympics to come. Sports have given me a plethora of things, but mainly sports have given me strength, taught me how to overcome fear and stand up when defeated. Sports have given me collaborative skills that was developed throughout the years of being an athlete and having teammates. Sports taught me how to stay focused and committed, along with the necessary skills that sports has taught me and giving me clarity and freedom. Transgender women and girls, transgender people are not a threat. We don't play sports to cheat. We deserve the rights as any other women because that's what we are. There are rules and regulation that define our ability to compete. The narrative that builds on myself and trans kids in the community is negative and dehumanizing. It feels as though people don't want us to exist. And in order to change the narrative, because we do exist and we're not going to stop existing, we need to stop these anti-trans bills. They are dehumanizing and kids are dying. Instead, I believe the government should step up and support trans people on all levels to show that we are seen and have rights and are people just like everybody else. From Ember, a transgender female high school softball player. When I was younger, I played co-ed baseball. I loved it. When the teams became single sex, I no longer fit in. I was teased and ostracized, though the most difficult part was not feeling like myself, so I quit. I came out as trans in seventh grade and wanted to play softball, but my state requires trans girls to take hormones for a year before they can play a sport. So I waited for 3 years. During that time, I became self-conscious, uncomfortable with my body, and lost all of my confidence. I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety. I was finally approved to play on a girls team in the spring of my sophomore year of high school. Playing on a girls team has been an incredible experience for me. I have made so many friends and improved so much despite starting so late. My teammates treat me just like everyone else on the team. So do my coaches. My team is part of my family. We are all so different and come from different cliques. But when we're together on the field, we are there for each other no matter what. Every kid should be lucky enough to have this experience. And from Debbie Jackson, a parent of a non-binary teen. My child Avery is now 15 years old. Avery doesn't even remember what it was like to be viewed as a boy. We affirmed who they are at a young age and supported a social transition before kindergarten. During that time, Avery was in a co-ed trampoline class at a gym, at a local gym. The gymnastics classes at the gym were divided by gender, and as we began referring to Avery as our daughter, Avery asked to move into gymnastics. It was one additional step towards being affirmed and accepted authentically. To this day, some of my favorite photos and videos are from the first day of that class when Avery marched so confidently onto the mats with a barely grown out traditional boyish haircut next to a gaggle of other girls with their bouncy ponytails. Avery enthusiastically followed every word of the coach, trying forward rolls and falling off the balance beam with every step, literally every step. Avery was the most gloriously awkward, non-athletic creature I have ever witnessed. I can safely tell you that Avery is still a gloriously awkward, non-athletic creature who will never win in any athletic endeavor. But participating in sports isn't about winning. Playing sports helps with mental health, teaches teamwork, provides camaraderie with others, and teaches discipline and goal setting. It opens doors to friendship, connection, and community with others. That's what my child experienced in that gymnastics class, and other trans kids deserve to experience all of those benefits too. I am so thankful that Avery didn't have to choose between not participating in sports or being forced to participate as a boy. Forcing a transgender child to choose between living an authentic life and playing a game is cruel. Think about how it would feel to have your body openly discussed by others or have the fairness of your existence and basic rights debated in a public forum. That's what you are doing to innocent kids. Please leave our kids alone. They deserve so much better from people in power. I want to thank these people for sharing their stories and reminding us that this is about children and daughters and sons and siblings and friends. These are real people with real experiences who deserve to feel loved and included. I'd ask unanimous consent to enter these letters to the Committee for Transgender Athletes provided by the National Center for Transgender Equality.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. Sports are a vital aspect of education that offers important lessons. Athletics allows young people from diverse backgrounds to engage in healthy movement and play, learn how to work as a team, and form meaningful connections. Madam Chair, I ask that while we sit through this hearing and hear the hateful misinformation I'm sure is going to come our way, let us not forget that children are at the core of this issue. I yield back.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. I will now recognize our witnesses for today. Ms. Riley Gaines is a former collegiate athlete for the University of Kentucky and now serves as an ambassador for the Independent Women's Voice. Welcome. Ms. Sarah Perry is a senior legal fellow in the Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. She is also a former senior counsel to the Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Education. Ms. Kim Russell is the former head women's lacrosse coach at Oberlin College and now serves as an ambassador for the Independent Women's Forum. And finally, Mrs. Fatima Goss Graves is the president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center. Welcome and thank you again for all being here. Pursuant to the committee rule 9G, the witnesses will please stand and raise their right hands. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give in this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Let the record show that the witnesses answered in the affirmative. Thank you, and you may all take a seat. So again, I now recognize myself, the witnesses, excuse me, I now recognize the witnesses for an opening statement. Let me remind the witnesses that we have read your written statement and we will have it appear in full in the hearing record. Please limit your oral statements to 5 minutes. As a reminder, please press the button on the microphone in front of you so that it is on and as the members can hear you. You will begin to speak. The light in front of you will turn green. After four minutes, the light will turn yellow. Then the red light will come on. Your 5 minutes has expired and we would ask you to please wrap up. I now recognize Ms. Gaines for her opening statement.
Thank you. My name is Riley Gaines, and I'm an ambassador for Independent Women's Voice, and I'm here today to urge you to protect women's sports and uphold the original intent of Title IX. My story is by now well known. I was a student at University of Kentucky, where I was also a member of the women's swim team, finishing my collegiate career as a 12-time NCAA All-American, a 5-time SEC champion, still the SEC record holder in the 200 butterfly, making me one of the fastest Americans of all time. In March of 2022, female swimmers from around the country and I were forced to compete at NCAAs against Leah, formerly Will Thomas. We watched as this male swam to a women's national title, beating out the most impressive and accomplished female swimmers in the nation, including Olympians and American record holders. Despite tying down to the 100th with Thomas in the 200 freestyle, I was denied the trophy because the NCAA claimed it was necessary for Thomas to hold the trophy when photos were being taken. It was clear to me, my teammates, and my competitors that they had reduced everything we had worked our entire lives for down to a photo op to validate the feelings and the identity of a male. But that's not all. In addition to losing out on opportunities to Thomas, we also had to share a locker room and change in front of this 6'4", fully intact, naked male. And as I've testified previously, we were not forewarned of this arrangement. We were not asked for our consent, and we did not give our consent to this exposure and to be exploited. Unfortunately, Thomas was not a one-off. Across the country and in various sports, males are entering women's athletic competitions, being given spots on women's teams, and being granted entry to our locker rooms. There are numerous documented instances of males competing not just in women's swimming, but also in women's track, cross country, basketball, volleyball, field hockey, and other sports at all levels of competition. This issue is incredibly underreported for various reasons. But common sense Americans know intuitively that this is not fair to women. And science, of course, supports that instinct. In fact, studies consistently show males have about a 10 to 12% athletic advantage over females. This gap is evident in almost every sport and at every level of competition. Yes, hormone therapy can narrow this gap, but it cannot close it. And studies consistently demonstrate that surgery and testosterone suppression do not reduce male athletic performance to normal female levels. Take Thomas, for example. He was mediocre against the men at best, ranking 400s and 500s nationally, then dominating all of the women in the entire country by body lengths, might I add, in a matter of a year. Not only do women have to worry about losing opportunities and being exploited in locker rooms, allowing men into women's sports also puts girls at greater risk of injury. In September of last year, North Carolina high school volleyball player Peyton McNabb suffered serious injury after a trans-identified male player spiked a ball at her head, rendering her unconscious. Peyton experienced extensive trauma to her head and neck and long-term concussion symptoms. Still to this day, a year and three-ish months later, she is still partially paralyzed on her right side. Her vision is impaired, her memory is impaired, and she isn't playing college sports like she had dreamed of for herself. Just a few weeks ago in Massachusetts, a male player on the Swampscott High School field hockey women's team injured an opposing player with a shot to the face, sending the female athlete to the hospital with significant facial and dental injuries. Injuries, of course, can and do happen when females are playing against other females. But allowing men to play women's sports increases the likelihood and severity of such injuries. That's one of the reasons why, for 50 years, federal Title IX regulations have allowed schools to offer separate teams for women and men when the sports are contact sports or involve competitive skill. In April of 2023, the Department of Education proposed a rule that, if adopted, would reverse this presumption. Under the proposed rule, women's sports aren't just for women. They're for anyone who simply says they are a woman, unless a particular school can demonstrate to the satisfaction of the Department of Education that keeping a particular team female meets important educational objectives. The new rule mandates that every school in the country must demonstrate the unfairness of male participation on each specific women's team that they offer and develop rules that minimize harm to trans-identified athletes. But what about the harm to us? Who is working to minimize the harm done to female athletes? Let me be perfectly clear. A school that knowingly allows a male athlete to take a spot on a women's team or allows a male athlete to take the field in a women's game is denying a female student athletic opportunity. And that is sex-based discrimination, and it violates Title IX, regardless of what the new regulations might say. It is my sincere hope that members of this committee will take action to stop the Biden administration's illegal and administrative rewrite of Title IX. Of course, there is a place for everyone, regardless of gender identity, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of race or what sports you play. There's a place for everyone to play sports in this country. But unsafe, unfair, and discriminatory practices towards women must stop. Inclusion cannot be prioritized over safety and fairness. And Ranking Member Lee, if my testimony makes me transphobic, then I believe your opening monologue makes you a misogynist. Thank you.
Back in April, House Republicans passed the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act to restrict participation of transgender athletes by amending Title IX. While it did pass in the House 219 to 203 along party lines, it has not been picked up by the Senate. And the White House says President Biden would also veto the measure if it hit his desk. The ACLU said at the time the bill would deny transgender girls nationwide equal and fair participation in student athletics. About two dozen states currently have bans on transgender girls in female sports. We'll probably speak more about this topic in the coming months as we head into the 2024 Olympics. That'll do it for this episode. I'm Ryan Burr. We'll talk to you next week as we wrap up 2023 and look forward to the Paris Games.